Welcome to That Is Good to Know Radio Show. This program focuses on you, the listener, by providing you information, strategies, and practical educational tips from successful seasoned business professionals. Now, with today's program, here's your host, Jeff Stanislow.
Hello, Tampa. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. Thanks for joining us in for another wonderful episode. We are helping share great knowledge with the Tampa Bay community, hence the name of the show, That Is Good to Know. Visit our website, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com, for this episode and many more. Again, Tampa, thanks for spending your time. We have a wonderful episode today. We're going to kind of dive into the world of crypto. Yes, crypto. We're going to talk a little Bitcoin, Ethereum. We're going to talk about how things got started. And our special guest joining us today is Royce Pope. He's a partner at DeFi Lava. How are you doing today, Royce?
Great, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you spending the time here. We are going to cover a subject that I think for most people, you know, has like some fantastic, connotations, and some just like, I have no idea what people are talking about when they're talking about this crypto stuff or Bitcoins. So what we're going to do is kind of like maybe just kind of go do a crypto or Bitcoin 101. How does that sound today?
Sounds great. I'm ready.
Well, good. Why don't we, start kind of like with the basics. And, you know, most of the time, the basics are the history and like maybe the architecture of how things are built. And, you know, I know a little bit about this space and what have you, but listen to the, you know, kind of the guy that spends his everyday waking moments in this space, Royce Pope from DeFi Lava. Why don't you tell us a little bit about like the background on cryptocurrencies, and then we'll dive into a little bit more on Bitcoin and Ethereum and these they call altcoins and all this good stuff. But we want to set a good foundation, since our show is That Is Good to Know. After you listen, I want you to say that was good to know about the crypto and Bitcoin space. So go ahead, Royce.
Yeah, so Bitcoin is the largest cryptocurrency. And it was the very first one that was created. It was launched back in, January 3rd, 2009, by an unknown entity or person by the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto. And Bitcoin was started by Satoshi Nakamoto just kind of quietly and anonymously. It wasn't a huge launch. It wasn't something that had a lot of attention on it. And Satoshi's stated goals for Bitcoin, according to the white paper, you can read yourself if you go to bitcoin.org, as stated by Satoshi Nakamoto himself, it was to create a digital peer-to-peer cash system. So it's 100% digital monetary network that works just peer-to-peer. There's no bank or, you know, credit card company or any third party that are processing transactions. It's simply a peer-to-peer digital cash network. So that was the start of the entire cryptocurrency space. And there have been many more cryptocurrencies launched since then. But in those early days, it was just Bitcoin. And then Ethereum was launched in 2015. I believe it was July of 2015, or maybe it was 2014. You can fact check me on that. But by the Ethereum Foundation, Vitalik Buterin, Charles Hoskinson, and a few other developers were working on Ethereum, and they saw Bitcoin, and they were huge fans of Bitcoin, and they loved the idea of a digital peer-to-peer cash network that worked completely in the hands of the people using it with no trusted third parties. But they saw something that they wanted to add to the ecosystem, which was Ethereum. And what Ethereum does is it's a programmable network. So with Bitcoin, everything is just a transaction peer-to-peer. And with Ethereum, you can actually program conditions into those transactions. So if I was to say, you know, if Jeff, you and I were going to bet on the next Lightning game. You know, I put $10 down and I bet that the Lightning are going to win, and you put $10 down and you bet the Lightning are going to lose or whatever. We could go on the Ethereum blockchain and we could program a condition in that says I get $20, my $10 plus your $10 if the Lightning win, and vice versa. If the Lightning lose, you get the $20. And we could program that that condition into the Ethereum blockchain. So that was
a new upgrade.
Yeah.
Now that makes complete sense. And, you know, this is a 101, Royce. And what we want to do is, you know, keep on using those examples so people understand how this works. This is Jeff Stanislaw, your host of That Is Good to Know. It's www.thatisgoodtoknow.com. Check it out. So Royce, you and I made a bet on a game, you won. And so you're saying that the Ethereum can be programmed to complete that transaction.
Correct. Bitcoin is a purely peer-to-peer cash network, and Ethereum is an upgrade to that, where you can program conditions into the transactions.
Okay. Now, what's this blockchain? You know, people talk about blockchain, and we have Bitcoin, we have Ethereum. We kind of did a great job on like explaining a little bit about that. But, you know, what is blockchain? Because those are the main things that I kind of hear. You hear blockchain, you hear crypto, you hear Bitcoin, you hear Ethereum, and then you hear altcoins. And those are the things I want to talk about today.
Right, for sure. So blockchain is the infrastructure and it's the technology that Bitcoin and Ethereum and other cryptos run on. So it's the foundational technological advancement that allowed these things to be created. So Bitcoin has its own blockchain. Ethereum has its own blockchain. So they're independent blockchains. It's not like there's one big blockchain where everything runs. There's multiple blockchains that have different things built on top of them. And all a blockchain is it's simply a series or a list of transactions. And these transactions are digitally stored in a decentralized network. So, for example, we have a centralized system of storing information for most things. Like Amazon has a central hub where all of their data is stored, and then that data is sent out to different centers across the country and across the world. With Bitcoin and then other cryptos, there's a decentralized element, which means that each computer that's running the software has its own copy of the ledger or of the list of transactions, and they're constantly verifying that their copy is correct amongst the other computers that are running the software.
Okay.
So that's all a blockchain means. It's you could liken it to, say, you know, we had a small little economy and you and me and a few other people were all trading with our own currency. And we just had a sheet of paper where we were writing down transactions, right? Jeff sends Royce $20 at this time on this day. Roy sends this other person $20 on this time at this day, right? So we're just writing out a list of data, right? So most systems work where there's one sheet of paper that has all the data and it's a centralized location. Blockchains work in the way that every single person in our small little economy would have their own sheet of paper where they write down the transactions. And then, Jeff, I would say, hey, is my data for this transaction correct? And we would compare our sheets of paper with the transactions, and we'd make sure that we were correct in the data that we're writing down. That's all it is. It's just a digital form of writing down transactions, basically.
Interesting. So it's kind of like the foundation, right? You know, we look at traditional programming languages, you know, let's call it, Microsoft Basic or, you know, Basic or, you know, a programming language, and hardware and architecture. And then people write applications to do things like, you know, Microsoft per se, you know what I mean? Microsoft is, you know, software that runs on a programming language and hardware. So blockchain is kind of equivalent to like the hardware and the language, the foundation. Would that be a good way to kind of evaluate it or think about it?
Yeah, I think so. The main distinction is it's running transactions and it's a decentralized network. So okay. every computer is equal to every other computer. There's no central computer that's running everything or controlling everything. There's no single point of failure. It's spread out versus concentrated.
Spread out versus concentrated. Great. This is Royce Pope. Royce is a partner at DeFi Lava, and it's DeFiLava.com. Correct, Royce?
That's correct.
So, you know,
DeFiLava.com.
Excellent. Excellent. And what is it that you do at DeFi Lava? You know, I believe you do a lot of consulting, right?
Yeah, I do a lot of consulting, and you know, my main objective starting the company was just to make it simple and easy for people to invest in Bitcoin and in cryptocurrency. And there's a few ways that I do that. I provide institutional level brokerage services for people. So if you wanted to buy $1,000 of Bitcoin, you could do that yourself. But if you're someone who wants to add a significant amount of Bitcoin, or you're a business that wants to add it to your portfolio or your balance sheet or something like that, and you wanted to buy $100,000 of Bitcoin or even more than that, maybe you would need someone who has an institutional partnership who's able to move large amounts of money like that. The average person can't just download Coinbase and buy $100,000 of Bitcoin in a single transaction. They're going to limit you to about $5,000 per week, and some other exchanges are a little bit better or worse than that. But I have a partnership that enables me to move $150,000 worth of crypto per week from, you know, back and forth between USD and crypto. So I do brokerage services for people. And then I help people invest in the market. So I do managed accounts for people. If you wanted to buy altcoins, altcoins are a little bit, you know, the markets can be very unforgiving if you don't know what you're doing. And so with a $10,000 minimum, I'll invest into a portfolio of altcoins for you, and you'll get quarterly reports. And, you know, I'm available day to day if you have questions or concerns or anything like that. And then we also do something that we like to call digital gold storage. So with the managed accounts, with the altcoins, we have to charge performance fees for that. With the digital gold storage, you just want to buy a bunch of Bitcoin and hold it securely in the maximally secure way to hold Bitcoin. We can set that all up for you. We sync it to your phone on an app on your phone. So you see it at all times. It's liquid at all times. There's no lockup periods. And you can just hold that Bitcoin long term with no performance fees. So those are basically the three things that we do for people.
Awesome. Awesome. And this is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. Royce definitely recommends people to consult with their financial professionals. This is not a financial advice show. Seek out your professionals, whether it's your financial advisor or your lawyer or your accountant, to get that advice. So Royce, you know, kind of doing a little pivot, we talked about blockchain kind of being the fundamental. We talked about Bitcoin being kind of the first and the leader kind of in the space. And then we talked about Ethereum being kind of programmatic capabilities of utilizing the Bitcoin. You mentioned something about altcoins. And maybe take a few minutes to tell people what an altcoin is and, you know, kind of go from there.
Sure. So altcoin as a term refers to any coin besides Bitcoin. So Ethereum is technically also an altcoin. It's just much, much larger than most other altcoins in terms of market cap. Right now, Bitcoin's about 1.3 trillion, I believe, at about 65,000 per coin. Ethereum's sitting around 2,900, 3,000, and that's about a 300 billion market cap, something like that. But there are many, many other coins underneath that are much smaller, that are created by different teams and different developers that are they're trying to solve a particular issue. So one of the issues that a lot of teams are trying to solve with blockchain is kind of like the speed and scalability problem paired with security and decentralization. So this is referred to as the blockchain trilemma. You have to have only two of three conditions for a blockchain. You have decentralization, security, and scalability. You can only have two of those. So Bitcoin goes with decentralization and security, but there's a limit to how many transactions you can do in a certain amount of time. It doesn't scale to millions and millions of transactions. Ethereum goes with scalability and security, but it sacrifices an element of decentralization in order to accomplish that. So there's many other teams that are working on faster blockchains, more secure blockchains, and different types of blockchains to solve, for example, that one problem.
So this is like the old adage, the three-legged stool kind of that people can, you know, associate with, where it's like, you know, faster, you know, better or cheaper, you know what I mean? Pick any two. So the dilemma or the trilemma that you have mentioned about, would that be kind of a good analysis?
Yeah, that's a very good way of thinking of it. Yep, exactly. And there are some that claim to have solved it. But, you know, that's one issue that some altcoins are trying to solve. But there's many other different altcoins. Anybody can create an altcoin. It's kind of like, you know, you create your own blockchain, basically. If you know how to do that, you can do it. So crypto is a 24/7 global market, right? It's not 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. only Monday through Friday. It's 24/7 and global, right? So anybody can come in, anybody can create their own blockchain, they can start marketing their project, et cetera, et cetera. So the altcoin space is very much the Wild West right now. We're just now starting to see Bitcoin and there are whispers of Ethereum coming into to regulation and to financial adoption by traditional companies and investors and things like that. But the altcoin space is still very much the Wild West for those reasons.
So Royce, one of the other things that I hear about, we're talking with Royce Pope, a partner at DeFi Lava. It's www.defilava.com. If you want to check out Royce, maybe, you know, give him a call or, you know, fill out a form and he'd be happy to do some consulting with you on this whole space, which is moving ever so fast. But one of the things that you hear a lot about is a token. What is a token in this kind of, you know, crypto 101?
Yeah. So the easiest way to think about it is, let's think about Ethereum. The reserve currency. Okay. So let me back up for a second.
Yeah. I was going to say you already lost me.
think about the United States economy, right? We have an economy within the country. What powers that economy? The US dollar, right? So everyone within this economy uses the US dollar to exchange goods and services. So the reserve currency of the economy is the US dollar. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the exact same thing as, for example, the Ethereum token on the Ethereum blockchain. People, they create NFTs, they create, you know, you can buy goods and services on different applications as well using the Ethereum token. And so the Ethereum token is the reserve currency of the Ethereum blockchain, just like the US dollar is the reserve currency of the US economy. That's the simplest way of thinking about it. And that's the way it works on any other blockchain that may be created.
Okay. How does that, like, you know, in traditional world in stocks, you have shares. Is would a token be like a share, you know, type thing? Is that kind of how it's thought of? Or is that, you know, maybe I'm wrong in regards to that, but what is a token?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But there is some ambiguity and some debate around that issue right now. So for example, with Bitcoin has been officially stamped and officially deemed a commodity, a digital commodity, similar to gold or silver or oil or lumber. Okay. It's a commodity.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yep. So, and the reason for that is because to be a commodity, there has to be no issuer, there has to be no pre-mine, there has to be no quote-unquote expected profit. You know, there's a few different conditions. But the key with Bitcoin is there was no, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto just kind of wound up the clock and then just let it go, right? He's not in control. He's not changing the blockchain. There's no one that's changing or making new rules for the Bitcoin blockchain. It's just a clock that has started ticking, right? With Ethereum, there's some debate around whether this is a security or a commodity. So a security would be like a share of a stock of a company, right? So the difference there is a company issues a stock, they can issue more stock. So they can, you know, if there's 1,000 shares of a company, they can issue 2,000 shares if they want. So there's a centralized decision maker that is changing the rules. Right. That's not the case with Bitcoin. That can be argued that is the case with Ethereum. But there's still some debate around it. And there hasn't been an official ruling by any regulatory bodies on that matter as of yet.
OK, the Royce, we got a couple more minutes left. And I think, you know, we might have to bring you back for a second episode here to dive in a little bit further, because it's it's a lot to kind of cover. And, you know, definitely. I think you're doing a great job on, you know, trying to, you know, kind of help people, you know, discover. And maybe after the show, the whole point of it is they say, well, that was good to know. I understand this space a little bit better. We're talking with Royce Pope, partner at DeFi Lava, www.defilava.com. Royce, you know, as a quick little thing as we conclude here, we got about a minute left. You know, what is the favorite thing about crypto in 1 minute? Why do you do it? Why do you like it so much?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I really like technology and I really like markets. So crypto is kind of the coolest, craziest combination of those things, technology and markets. So I immediately fell in love with it. I thought Bitcoin was an incredibly interesting economic advancement, and technology that I believe can solve many of the issues that we're seeing right now in the economy. For example, inflation is rampant. You know, the average person's rent is going higher and higher. Food costs are going higher and higher. And I think that Bitcoin and, you know, digital currencies can help alleviate a lot of those problems that we're seeing. I'll give a quick example.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's save that for the second show. We're going to wrap up this episode. Sure. But tune back in a few minutes. We're going to have part two with Royce Pope, partner at DeFi Lava. This is Jeff Stanislow, and you're listening to That Is Good to Know.